I asked the interns to watch the movie this week, so they watched it because they won't be in for the movie. They're going to be out doing a children's program for all the kids. And so they watched the movie this week, and I asked them each to write a paragraph in response to the movie and what it spoke to them. So I've asked Annika, I put them on the spot. These guys are getting used to being stretched at the last minute. So I printed out what she wrote to us, and I gave her the copy, and she's going to read that now. Thank you, Annika.
Where can one find meaning in life? Many teens and young adults were asking this question throughout the Jesus Revolution. The movie starts out with a very conservative but dry church. Nevertheless, when the pastor's daughter meets a hippie, everything changes. Pastor Chuck takes a chance and lets the hippie, Lonnie, into his church and home. This leads to exponential growth as people see the love and power of Christ. Soon the church building is full, and they start meeting in a tent. Throughout this movie, we see people coming to know Jesus, yet also the very real challenges of being his servants, including humility and faith. We see the pastor humbling himself to wash people's feet and welcome everyone. We also watch as Lonnie struggles with laying down his role as main speaker. Finally, we cheer as a young man takes courage to choose Jesus and serves him in many ways. The Jesus Revolution movie paints a beautiful picture of how God works where we may least expect it, to turn people's lives around and give their lives meaning.
You're going to hear more. You're going to be hearing more from Annika in just a few moments. We've got the intern sharing this morning in just a few moments. Okay, Annika, I'm going to turn to you. You're going to be the first of the interns to sort of lead us this morning, and then you'll be sharing with us, and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Annika. Yeah. Let's welcome her. Let's welcome Annika.
Good morning, everyone. So I wanted to play that song because it has a lot of aspects and similar with the verse I wanted to share. The verse is 1 Peter 2:9. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to look it up. It goes, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." And there's two points I wanted to touch on in this verse. And the first is that it just makes me want to praise him. There's so many things that it says about how he has changed me. The first is that I am chosen. We are a chosen people. He has chosen us to be his. And we are his priests. We get to minister to him. And we get to minister to the Most High King, not just to anyone, but to King Jesus. We're also a holy nation. He has made us his nation, and we are his, and his very own possession. He wants to call us his, and he doesn't want our praises to go to anyone else. He's jealous of our praises, and he loves us. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And he called us out of the darkness, but not just out of the darkness, he called us into his light. So all the way around. And then when we see these things, when we praise him, we can show others the goodness of God. And I find this beautiful because it's not just we need to tell others about Jesus, but it's when we are thankful for everything he's doing, we naturally tell others about how good he is. We show them. And NIRV, the New International Reader's Version, doesn't even say show others or proclaim. It simply says so that you can give him praise. When we're thankful and praising him in our day-to-day life, then people will not be able to help but see his goodness. One of the amazing parts of this summer is that I've been able to help people and show them God's love. This has been an amazing summer. We helped with the camps, and I pray that when I interacted with the kids, when I talked to them, handed them scissors, whatever, I pray that they saw the love of God in my smile, in my tone of voice, and we also helped many ways. I helped some moms who needed help. I helped just different people, and I pray that in their time when they needed help, they saw how God was able to help and that maybe I was able to help them through him. So thank you. I think Toby's next.
All right, I'd like to start by introducing myself. My name is Toby Sumick. and I've been an intern here at WOCC since the beginning of the summer. And today I've been asked to just share my general thoughts and experience about the internship. And my biggest takeaway was from the whole internship was that it was so encouraging to see a community, what a community can do when God is grounded at its center. Matthew 8:20 says, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with them also." And just this whole community is showing the world what it means to be a church with Jesus at its heart. And communities with Jesus at its heart just serve the poor. And it was wonderful to work at an organization called Lion Hearts. It's an organization where whose goal is, and I quote, "to unite people in community with practical acts of love." Both times we interns served at Lion Hearts, we worked to place common goods, snacks, and potatoes in boxes to be distributed at a later date to those who aren't as fortunate. And when we first arrived at Lion Hearts, I just immediately noticed that they greeted us with smiling faces and open hands and were just generally well-going. And just one of the most rewarding aspects of this internship in general, and particularly shown at Lion Hearts, was the joy I found in serving others. So as Proverbs 9:17 tells us, "Whoever is kind to the poor and lends to the Lord, he will reward them for what they have done." And this joy of serving was further reinforced by my experiences with other interns at Lion Hearts, specifically. And Proverbs 22:9 reminds us, "The generous themselves will be blessed, for they share their food with the poor," which fit pretty well. This joy, this blessing, this gift that the Lord gives us is something that I will try to keep with me and carry with me always. I also saw Jesus here at WOCC among the just during the music festival. Just as particularly this one moment as we were wrapping up the festival, I spotted a round table with flyers for sale, and I walked over to see if I could get something for my mother, as I typically buy or pick her flowers when I get the chance. And when I got to the table to see what pricing was like, I saw that there was no tags indicating what the prices were, and naturally confused, I asked the lady next to me, who I thought was running the stand, how I could pay. In particular, I asked her if Apple Pay was available, but she was just as confused as I was, and there was no card reader in sight. She advised me that I should ask Gloria, who was actually running the table, how I could pay. And she informed me that it was pay by donation, an entirely new idea to me, and that there was, in fact, no Apple Pay. Disappointed and nearly close to giving up, I asked Chuck if I could borrow some money and some cash, see if I could put it in the donation jar. And just then, the same lady who I was talking to previously tapped my arm and folded some money into my hand, and it was at this moment that the love and kindness of Jesus came through generosity and just spoke to me, and it really touched my heart. And to this day, other than my mom, she's my favorite lady here. And I'd like to thank people like Chuck and Don and Graham and Debbie and Annie and Pastor Young, Bob, and of course my fellow interns, and for just keeping Jesus in the center. And like Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. And by all these things, you guys have shown me that the Spirit of God is among you. And I encourage you to keep God in the center." I'm so happy that I had this opportunity to work at this internship and just serve God and serve the community. Thank you.
Hello. So I'm going to start by reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So something that is important to me is sharing my faith with others. And when I was younger, I was in a worship service once, and I really felt God's presence. So I decided I want to read books about missionaries. about Christians. So I got a book about David Livingston, and I read this book, and it was in a series of books about missionaries. So every time I read a new book, I was thinking, I want to go there. So the one about David Livingston, he went to Africa, so I was thinking, I want to go to Africa. Then I read another one about a missionary to the Middle East. So I thought to myself, maybe I'll go to the Middle East. And then I kept reading more and thinking, maybe I want to go there. So I prayed, God, where do you want me to go? And I had a few dreams that I was in Africa. In one dream, I was driving across Madagascar and eating interesting foods. In another, I was in my office, an office in the future, and there were books all through the room, and I had a map stretched out along the floor, and it had a line showing, it was a world map, and it had a line going from where I live at that time in the dream to where I was going in Africa. And I had a couple other dreams where I was with Dad in Africa, and we were preaching. And then I also had a dream where, not specifically in Africa, but there were a bunch of young people around me, a small group of young people, and I was preaching to them, telling them about Jesus. So a part of the internship that was a highlight to me was the day we went downtown Ottawa, and we filled our backpacks with chips and granola bars and juice boxes, and we walked along the streets and we handed out the chips and juice boxes to homeless people along the way, and we prayed for a lot of them. Another scripture that I have here is Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 to 40. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So that was probably a highlight, one of the main highlights from the internship for me. And like Toby mentioned, we also helped sort through food at Lionheart's and pack it. The one day we packed different food items into boxes, and the other day they got a big shipment of potatoes and we packed those into boxes. Another fun highlight from the internship for me is the arts camp. We had each day was a different country. We had a different country for the theme, so that was pretty cool. We got to learn about Israel, Japan, the Maori culture, the Inuit culture, and the Congo. Thank you for letting me speak today.
Get over here.
Wonderful. Okay, you three, come on up, and I think the skit is next. You're going to show us what you've been working on.
Well, I saw this, like, the sin bin, and...
Oh, the sin bin.
Yeah. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Tried it? No.
Right, well, do you know any way I could get out, or...?
Have you tried being good?
So, what do you mean, like...
Try thinking good thoughts.
Right, okay.
I'm sure you can get out if you try hard enough.
I can do that, I think. Okay. So, I'm helping an old lady across the street.
Keep trying. I think you're almost out.
Yeah, I'm giving loads and loads of money to charity.
How much?
None of your business is how much.
Well, I think you're almost out. Okay. Try now. Oh.
No, I'm...
Well, I have a committee meeting to go to. Right. Goodbye and God bless.
I'm still in boss.
Goodbye.
Okay, how about, is there anyone else that could possibly get me out of here?
Different person comes in.
You need some help?
Yeah, no, I love
you. Oh, what have you gotten yourself
it's
into?
It's called a sin bin.
Did you say sin? I can't believe it. This is the result of your lifestyle. You're a gross, irresponsible, disgusting person. Sin. I've got to go home and spray myself down with Lysol. happen?
I only meant to be in here for like a couple of minutes and ended up being a lot longer than that.
Hey, looks like you have a problem there, friend.
Yeah, well, just go and spare me the lies of hell.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, clearly you've never been in my situation before.
I know. You're stuck in sin. I was stuck like that once.
And how did you get out?
Well, actually, it's pretty easy.
Well, then get me out of here.
Well, I can't get you out, but I know who can.
Well, then get him to get me out of here.
Well, he's here.
Ha! Oh, okay. Hello, Mr. Friend, who's gonna get me out. Yeah, can you just go away now?
No, I'm not crazy. It's Jesus. He died on the cross so you wouldn't have to be stuck in sin. Well, and he's here, and he loves you.
How can Jesus help?
Would you like to pray?
Sure.
Amen.
Wow. That's better.
Isn't that amazing? Give the interns an applause. Yeah. The Zoom people here. Man, I want to say so much, but I'm just going to take a few minutes because this is... So on Wednesday, we had the Pastors Leaders Unity meeting here at West Ottawa, and I asked Isaac if we could meet here this month because I knew the interns would be with us and I wanted them to be part of it. So we've been meeting for over a year. Churches across the city have been gathering. We were at a different church every month, and so we were here this past Wednesday. But on the next day, we kind of do some debriefing and we talk about the events of, you know, that we were part of. And it was so beautiful to hear from their perspective what that meeting was like and what it meant to them. And it's just fantastic. So one of the things that's happening is this sense, and it's happening all over the earth, is this sense of family. That the Father will have one family. He's not going to have, you know, he's not going to have a harem, you know, like a, he's not going to have, you know, a fragmented church. He's going to have one family. And so I want to just say to the interns, I'm feeling kind of sad and happy at the same time here this morning, but I wish I could present you with this in a picture form. But what I wanted to do, especially with Toby and Annika and Joseph, I'm going to give you one too, because by the sounds of it, you're going to be at different places at different times. So I want to give you one as well. But it's a passport, a WOCC passport. So you have dual citizenship, okay? Especially Annika and Toby. That in the family of God, we have this dual citizenship where we are welcome in different expressions of his church. And so it's been such a joy to have you guys with us. Joseph, we get every week until these nations start becoming the reality that God's calling him to. And then you'll still have a passport to return home and come back. But I wanted to take just a few minutes to talk to the interns and to share just a few things with you really quickly. We've had opportunity throughout the summer. I like the Jesus model. I like to walk. You know, Jesus walked with his disciples and just talked to them along the way. And they caught, you know, probably more than was taught to them, you know, just from Jesus' life. So we've had an amazing summer. But I wanted to just sprinkle a few things over your hearts this morning, okay? Because I like to speak these, especially to young people, but I want to speak to all of us, young at heart. We're all, you know, I tell people, don't get old, don't grow old. You know, I say I'm getting older, I don't say I'm old, okay? Don't say you're old, say you're getting older and wiser, right? But the young at heart get to participate in all this as well. But these are the sprinklings I want to leave with young people. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from your heart flows the rivers of life. So don't let your hearts get clogged up with people. through offenses or through disappointment. Don't bury people in your hearts. Or as one man said, lock them up in little cages, and every so often you open the cage and kind of remember what they did to you and give them one of these, you know. But rather, Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. And Matthew 18 talks about releasing from our hearts. So we need to not only forgive, we need to release from our hearts. It's a very important distinction, because many people forgive with their lips, but they leave their heart untouched. And they leave those people there to sort of reminisce and to remind yourself of the pain that they caused you. And so Proverbs 4:23, again, this is just sprinkling. I want to get to my main point, but this is just a sprinkling over you. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Because it's from that heart that you're going to sprinkle people throughout your life. And you've been doing that this summer, sprinkling over people. You know, people are never the same after they meet you. You know, they're never the same. We're stretched. That's why I love the internship, and I love that stretching that occurs, because what happens when we're stretched is we never quite go back to the same place again. We're stretched, and we're taken further and higher. So this comes by way of repentance. Don't be afraid of repentance. Repentance is key. It says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. If you're convicted of sin, then confess it. Confess it and receive that beautiful forgiveness. I remember the first time standing, and I took the interns down to 35 Waller Street. It was on the third floor of the Union, what was called the Union Mission for Men, that I gave my heart to Jesus. And it was in that same foyer that these interns walked through. They walked through the foyer to the little chapel in the mission. And it was in that foyer that I stood there, just days after I'd given my heart to Jesus, and I felt clean for the very first time in my life. I never had that experience before in my life, what it felt like to be clean on the inside. And that's what forgiveness does. That's what Jesus does. Second, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, I believe, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from sexual immorality. I was a young person. I went to Mexico on an outreach with similar to Youth with a Mission, but was with Operation Mobilization. And in Mexico, a man spoke to us. He got up and spoke to this group of young people. He had just come back from Asia. And when he was in Asia, he got a knock on his hotel door, and he opened the door, and there was a beautiful woman standing there. And she said, I'm yours while you're here at this hotel. This man ran past this lady, down the hall, down the stairs, onto the street, and just kept running. Just kept running. That has stayed with me my entire life. The Bible says flee immorality. Young people, flee immorality. You're representing, I believe that God's calling a generation to purity like never before. It's just a point of sprinkling over you because I want to keep going, but choose sexual purity. Choose to stay pure. The third thing I want to say is when I received this scripture just before I met Valerie, Psalm 37:7 out of the Good News Bible, it says, be patient and wait for the Lord to act. I was engaged before I met Valerie, a couple of years before we met, and the only thing we had in common, this young lady and I, was that we both wanted to get married. That's the only thing we had in common. We didn't want to really marry each other, you know, but we both had this desire to be married, and God puts that desire within young people to be married. This scripture, be patient and wait for the Lord to act, is such an instructive scripture that you are to wait for God's best. Don't settle for less than God's best. Do not just settle in, you know. Let God choose the very best partner for you, the best husband, the best wife, and hold out for that. Be patient and wait for the Lord to act. Psalm 37:7. The fourth point I want to sprinkle over you is the prayer of surrender. It's the greatest prayer that we can pray, the prayer of surrender. I remember being frustrated with this desire in my heart for ministry, and I was just a young man, and I remember things were not coming together, they were not happening, and I remember I was in my car, and I just lifted my hands. I trust I was at a stoplight or somewhere, I don't remember, but I remember being in the car, lifting my hands, the prayer of surrender, and then the phone call came, and our lives are, the rest is history. I mean, just what God has done. But just before this internship, just as this internship was beginning to develop, I prayed the prayer of surrender. Initially, I had this great peace around it, and then I lost the peace as I began to think. I mean, 30 hours a week. You know, that's 90 hours a week between the three of you? That's 90 hours a week, you know? And when I prayed the prayer of surrender, the breezes of heaven began to blow. They began to blow. And we have had some of the greatest mentors that you could ever hope for these young people, including Adrian Plass, who's one of my mentors, and I've shared him with these guys as well. So the prayer of surrender. And the final thing I want to say, and this is very, very important, and I shared a little bit just over beautiful Isaac yesterday, but it's only because When I get a message and it begins to birth in my heart, it's not just for me, it's to give away. And I believe this is one of the most important messages for us today, is that it says in Luke 8:18, Jesus said this, he said, be careful how you listen. Another translation says, consider carefully how you listen. This is one of the most important instructive messages that Jesus ever gave throughout the scripture. Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. My sheep hear my voice and they obey me. They follow me. You know, listening is one of the, is the key to your entire life. It's the key to opening doors to, it doesn't come naturally. When a two-year-old is asked to do something, their first word is no. And they're not taught this, it just comes out of them, just no, no. But I remember being in the backyard of a friend, and he had an older son, and this was not a two-year-old, and he asked his son to get him a glass of water. He was working in the backyard, and his son said, no. And I remember that. I remember how it grieved my heart, you know, that at this point, it's okay for a two-year-old to say that. And I tell people it's okay to say no. There's a time to say no, but don't let it be the first word out of your mouth. Begin to pray over something. If you're asked to do something, pray over it. See if God is in it for you, and don't be quick to say no. In Samuel, you remember Eli was sleeping? Was it Eli sleeping? Yes, it was. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. He heard his name, and he went to Eli three times, and he says, when the Lord speaks, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And there's a real beautiful principle in this portion of scripture about listening to the voice of God. And I love that the interns have been reading, Is That Really You, God? By Lauren Cunningham. I've been rereading it, and it's just done my heart such good to read that book. But one of the principles, one of the things I've seen in my own life over the course of all the years I've been following the Lord, is that he is so gracious to speak more than once. He's gracious to speak more than once and in more than one way. But it's important that we get his attention, because after a while, if we're not listening, that voice is going to become easier and easier to not listen to. But as he speaks, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. I want to give you just these four examples. Samuel is one. Jumping to the New Testament, Timothy was commended by Paul, because he said Paul wanted to send someone that represented his heart. And he said, no one else represents me. No one else has a heart like Timothy. He said, everyone else seeks after their own interests, but Timothy seeks after the interests of Christ. What a beautiful high commendation that Timothy got. He seeks the interests of Christ. Therefore, I'm sending the very best to you. You guys have been just amazing. I just love the yes that's in your spirits. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is visited by the Lord. There's a time of repentance. And then the Lord says, who will go? Joseph, who will go? You know, who will go, Annika? Who will go, Toby? And Isaiah says, here am I. Here am I, send me. And he makes himself available to the Lord. I said yesterday to Isaac, you know, there'll be many small yeses in our lives, many small opportunities to say yes to the Lord. But then the time will come, a critical time, where that yes is going to count more than all those small yeses combined. I remember in the movie, A Beautiful Life, where they're in the concentration camp, their father has his son there, and there's a critical moment in the movie where the son is hiding. Some of you that have seen it, it's, you know, the son was hiding during this time, and the father was trying to protect the son, and there was a time where the son came out in the open and was going to be caught by the Germans, and the father instructed him at that moment to hide. And at that moment, that the yes of the son meant more than any other time, because if he said no to the father, he would have been captured and killed, but he listened to the voice of the father at that particular point. So the other example I wanted to use is Mary. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, be it unto me according to your will. I want to turn to that portion of scripture. I'm just going to end there, but let me turn to Luke chapter 2, because I wanted to use both male and female examples from the scripture. And in Luke chapter 2, and this is such an important scripture, in Luke 1, starting at verse 37, we read this. Chapter 1, verse 37. Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. There's a verse you want to underline. It's underlined about four times in my Bible. It says this. It says, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Let me read down to 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear." But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Verse 45, listen to this. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. The Lord is looking for hearts that say yes to him, that believe when he speaks, that believe what he says. And the Lord said that it will be accomplished. And it says, blessed is this person. And I think this is where I want to conclude, is that I want the blessing of the Lord for these beautiful interns, these beautiful young people. I want the blessing of the Lord for my life. I want the blessing of the Lord for each and every life here. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and I want to turn to that because it's good to turn to the scripture. John chapter 13, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and then he turns to them and he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, the servant is no greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you do them. And so we're done with head knowledge. We're done with reading the Bible just so that we can have our quiet time. We're done with all that. We're followers of Jesus. And he's looking for a follower that says yes to him. Says yes to him. Joseph, Annika, Toby, the greatest adventures lie in front of you. I was in Argentina outside of Mendoza, Argentina during the World Cup soccer games, driving down a road. I was in a car and I was looking straight ahead. And I saw in the distance the road taking a curve, and I wondered, Lord, what is it? What is it you have planned for my life? What turns are in the road ahead for my life? I live with very few regrets. And I know that I'm not saying I live with no regrets, because we all have regrets, but I live with fewer regrets because I've chosen along the way to surrender. I've chosen along the way to say yes, even when it's difficult to say yes. And so I encourage each one of you to let a yes just grow within you. Just let a yes. Lord, would you do that in each of our hearts? But Lord, I ask that you would do by the power of your Holy Spirit what none of us can do on our own. Lord, we acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge, Lord, that the yes that comes out of our hearts is a yes that's born out of your love for us. The Bible says, Lord, that we love because you first loved us. We can only say yes, Lord, out of that love. We can only say yes, Lord, out of the infilling, indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray for fresh oil over each of the interns this morning, Lord. I pray for the fresh oil of your outpouring, Lord, the oil of your Holy Spirit. I pray for an experiential, felt, real, beautiful relationship with you, Lord, their entire lives. I pray that dreams would be multiplied. I pray that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that they would recognize the activity of God in their lives, the beautiful activity of the Holy Spirit, the workings of God in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.